Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when a mischievous ghost likes to take crucial items and hide them? Can you ever get them to stop, or does it just become a way of life?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always email your audio file to me. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, become an EPP, a supporter of our program. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material, all of our EPP bonus episodes, 300 some of those just waiting for you to binge away on. On top of that, advanced episodes, you get our ebook, you get our audiobook. It's all there to binge and keep us on the air with. And as a big thank you, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I thought I would I'd start out with this story because otherwise I will forget probably at some point. But I think we found Michael Bolton's horse. Or if Michael Bolton could be a horse circa 1993, this would be the horse.
Oh my gosh.
We were at a we haven't really talked about this on the air yet.
We've not talked about it. We bought when I bought him, he was 2 days old.
Uh-huh.
Colt paint horse. Yep. He's black and white with both blue eyes.
You can see pictures of him on our Instagram.
Yes.
Counts. Yeah. At Jenny Brewski, at Tony Brewski. I think there's even some up at Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm not sure.
And Aspie Acres.
Okay, yeah.
And anyway, we named him Woodrow. And so we've been going out to see Woodrow. And both of his parents are on site. They're both just as gorgeous as he is. But Tony got to go with me for the first time yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the lady that has him right now, you know, said, because the horse has to stay with his mom for 6 months until he's weaned. So sure. Anyway, so he's staying at their place, but we go visit. Anyway, she said, do you want to see the dad? And so we said, sure, let's see what. And I had already seen him before, but we walked over and here he comes galloping up. And he's got this blonde mane flowing in the wind. And he's just the most regal looking horse you ever saw. And it's like all of a sudden cue, Michael Bolton, you know? It just looked like his hair blowing in the wind. It was so, he's the prettiest horse. And that's how our horse is going to look when he grows up.
Yeah.
But you just were like, wow, I think that's Michael Bolton.
I was walking through this pasture. I was checking out a large bunch of squash that were growing. And there's like some donkeys kind of a mess around the area and like a mini horse. And then she calls the dad. And then over the hill, I just suddenly... I'm like, holy shit. It's Michael Bolton horse. And he comes over and I get to pet him. And it was really just kind of like...
You fed him cookies.
I did. And when I fed him cookies, you know, it was weird. I gave him a cookie and all of a sudden I heard him say... The horse made that noise. He was like... Woo-hoo.
He did not make that noise.
It was weird.
No, but he is gorgeous. And it was just so picture perfect to see him coming with his mane flowing in the wind. Yeah. And you just were kind of stunned, I think, because you were just like, wow.
I like horses. I'm not like a horse person per se.
You're
where it's like,
be.
Where like I know all about them. I'll naturally end up getting to know more about them. But I've seen a lot of horses in my time. Like I've gone to ranches and stuff and all that. This is an impressive looking horse.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit. It's a Michael Bolton horse.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. I was really waiting for him to be like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, it'd be great. He even had chest hair. He was weird. He was wearing like a shirt and he had chest hair. It was really kind of like, what is going on? 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hey, Tony and Jenny, my name is Vico. I have been listening to your show for about a year now. I love it. I hope to become an EPP sometime in the future. I just need a job first. I am super passionate about the paranormal and I'm excited to share this recent one with you. I hope you share it on the air. I call it the ghostly credit card switcheroo. This past summer, my mom and I decided on a whim to stay at the Foley House in Savannah, Georgia. It's said to be one of the most haunted bed and breakfasts in Savannah. I was super excited because I had never stayed at the haunted house, a hotel before, and I was looking forward to the new experience, as my mom and I are incredibly open and passionately believe in the paranormal. So we got to the inn and went inside to check in. My mom pulled out her wallet but could not find her credit card. She emptied out her whole purse but still could not find it. The guy at the reception said it was fine for now and that he could show us to our room first. We followed him as he told us a little history about the inn. This text is taken from their main website. The Foley House was originally built in 1896 by Horina Foley. She was the widow of a wealthy Irish immigrant, Owen Foley. The Foley's original homestead was the first and actual Savannah bed and breakfast. She built this new home to acquire more living space. The Foley House was constructed over the ashes of a home destroyed by the Great Savannah Fire of 1889. Hence, the Foley's beginnings carried an ominous undertone. Mrs. Foley enjoyed success with her in several years. In addition to her widowed son, her five children lived in peace. However, things began to change in the house during the renovation of 1987, almost a century after the house was built. Construction workers discovered human skeletal remains behind a wall. They unwittingly set loose something that could only be described as otherworldly while just doing their jobs. Although the skeleton has never been conclusively identified as this haunted individual, Savannah Bed and Breakfast, it is believed the bones belong to a boarder. The person stayed at the Foley House in the late 1800s. He was a wealthy exporter in Savannah on business. Then one night he disappeared mysteriously and was never heard from again. Speculation is that he was murdered for his money and consequently secreted away behind the wall to hide the crime. Did he at last resurface? Guess that's like a great intro, like when you get to a hotel and that's like right on the guest book. That should be at every hotel.
Secreted away.
Talk about your former guests secreting away in the walls of the Howard Johnson. You probably get some pretty good odds there at one Howard Johnson that we went to. Guests have reported seeing a man in the top on a top hat walking around the garden late at night, and other guests have reported hearing strange noises or feeling the rush of air. So now back to my story. As the man led us to our room on the second floor, he told us about the ghost and explained that the entity was not evil or malicious, but more of a Casper kind of ghost. Just a little curious who apparently liked to make mischief. My mom finally remembered that she had left her credit card in the car in one of the cup holders. So we excused ourselves and back to the car, get the card. Sure enough, there it was. I grabbed the card, which is bright silver in color, gave it to her. She put it in her wallet. We went back to the inn. She looked in her wallet again, pulled out my deep blue colored debit card instead, and our jaws dropped and we were confused. I knew I had given her credit card, her silver colored credit card with her name on it. I'd put my debit card in a smaller pocket in my purse because it had just expired a few days before, and I knew I could not use it anyway. I then looked at my wallet and found her credit card. Could not explain what happened. The only thing we did was laugh, and I said out loud to the ghost, hoping he would hear me, ha ha, good one.
That's some pretty special magic there. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you see on like a TV magician, you know?
David Copperfield owns the inn.
Yeah, wow. That's unexplainable. For sure.
And it's just, I mean, that falls in line with what they said too. It's like, well, it's kind of like a Casper. He's there, but he's not, you know.
He's just staying occupied.
He's doing weird stuff to people.
Yeah.
Interesting, as he was secreting away in the walls.
Ugh.
You would think they would smell.
Yeah, you would think.
But I'm guessing after 100 years, that rot goes away.
Well, but you would think he would start smelling pretty fast and that people would be like, oh, your hotel kind of literally stinks.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to go back to those records, though, of 100 years ago. And, like, did anyone complain about smells? You know, I'd be interested. I don't know how you'd ever find it.
And, like, they would write that down.
Yeah.
So-and-so stayed here,
yeah,
you know, in 1889 and complained of smell.
Guest book. Is it in any of the old, do they have the old guest registries? Not only just the name, but, like, comments about your stay. Or did they not do that? Was it just, like...
Well, they had the guest book where you signed, you know, and that's what where they knew who was staying there, yeah, you know, just like you see at the Grand Hotel, but yeah, not, you know, not leave comments here,
yeah,
or like us on Yelp or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, that was a few years before Yelp.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said that.
We once went into a little...
oh, God.
I think it was supposed to be a wine bar. But it felt more like a funeral parlor. There was like four seats and they had food advertised as well.
You're going to tell this for real.
Yeah. And it was almost like, oh, this could be a neat little space. It was kind of in this little square area in Wichita that had other little, like businesses and boutiques and stuff. And so most of them were closed down, but this place had opened. We thought, let's try it. So we did. And we just sat there for like the hour talking to the kind of awkward bartender, if I remember right.
And the owner. You know, of course, the bar owner's hanging out, you know, like she's famous or something. And there's three people in the room.
Yeah, it was great. When we left, Jenny signed the guest book, which did feel like you were walking to a funeral home. I'm sorry for your loss.
I shit you not, I did that. And we were dating, and I hope that clinched the deal. You know, just because I thought you...
Were we married by that time or were we dating?
No, we were still really? Dating.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I thought maybe if I said something funny, you'd like
it. It's kind of places I feel like funeral homes with this guy. That's going to cinch the deal. Let's take it to a bar that feels more like a mortuary.
See, I would be that mischievous ghost. I would be doing things like that.
Yeah. Let's go to our next story. It says, a little over 9 years ago, my mother died on New Year's Day. It's the most difficult thing I've ever dealt with. We were very close, and I wasn't there when she passed. She was all alone, and it still hurts me to this day. I wasn't there for the woman who meant the most to me in this world and who was always there for me. While I did take bereavement leave for a week, I struggled for months at work after her death. I worked as a 911 operator and had to deal daily with other people's tragedies. And up until that point, I'd been able to do that with success, but the success had been in no small part due to her unwavering support of me. There were times I would get off shift, and on my commute home, I would call her and unload some of the stress to her over the phone. She was my rock, and without her, I floundered at work, and it showed. I knew she was still and is still proud of me for the work I chose to do, and having her support meant the world to me. During her entire working life, she was a nurse. Caring for others was her calling. In fact, now that I think about it, most of the women in my family are in healthcare in one form or another. It's my calling, too, but I was never able to deal with the actual blood and guts. Heck, if I fainted, I fainted at the very sight of my own blood. So becoming a 911 dispatcher came naturally to me. I can still help people experiencing the worst days of their lives, but I do not have to see the horror. Anyway, about 3 months after she passed, her birthday came, and as you can imagine, I was down in the dumps and unable yet to celebrate her birthday. It was an exceedingly difficult day. I wasn't able to get the day off due to staffing, so I was really struggling at my console, trying to do my best job to set my grief aside. It was proving to be impossible. I kept breaking down and crying and had to have coworkers take over until I could compose myself. To give you some perspective on this, having a 911 dispatcher work a busy radio channel and answering phone calls who is compromised like I was that day is a bit dangerous. They're more likely to miss important details, and someone could get hurt or killed as a result. So I was trying, but I should not have been there. About 3 hours into my 12-hour shift, my father-in-law called me out of the blue. He never calls me. He's a minister in our hometown area where my parents were from and knew some of my father's extended family. Not well, but some. He was in the local Napa parts store earlier that morning in a very small town of about 1,600 people. One of the employees came up to him and asked him if I was his daughter-in-law, to which he replied yes. The young man said, "Wait right here for just a minute, please." He went to the back room. When he came back, he handed him an envelope to my father-in-law and asked him to pass it along to me when he had a chance. When he got back home, curiosity got the best of him, and he opened the sealed envelope. Keep in mind, my father-in-law had no idea that it was my mother's birthday. He did know that I was deeply grieving her loss, though. So in an unprecedented move, he called me at work and asked for my work email address. I was distracted and trying to hold my shit together, so I just gave it to him and did not think anything about it. About 30 minutes later, I see an email from him pop up and remembered that he'd called. I opened the email and saw four attachments. The envelope contained four 8x10 original black and white professional photos of my parents' wedding back in 1960 that I never had seen before. I was literally stunned. I sat there staring at these photos for I don't know how long, and an undefinable feeling of complete peace and serenity washed through me in that moment. I knew it was going to be okay. It was her reaching out to me across the veil to let me know that she was okay, at peace, and happily reunited with my father, who had passed 6 years before. I knew it in my bones. There was no coincidence. I have since had those photos framed and displayed them in my home. I made copies for my siblings to have as well. None of us had seen these photos before. I did not know who the young man at the parts store was. My father-in-law has not seen him since and did not know him, which is a bit bizarre in a community that small. Everyone ends up knowing everyone. You cannot help but run into the same people repeatedly. I wish I knew who he was so I could thank him and tell him how much that meant to me. Thank you for letting me share my story. I hope that I can serve to help even one of your listeners in the grieving process. Keep doing what you do. I love listening to your podcasts.
Nope. I thought your mic was on. I'm sorry.
That in itself could be an unsolved mystery episode. Stop with that. That sounds nothing like the show.
That's the midpoint of it.
No, stop. It doesn't work.
God damn.
Okay. No, that the fact that, you know, this person that had this envelope had to know that, you know, the father-in-law was going to go into the store on that day. Mm-hmm. It's just too much. I wonder if that was a ghost himself.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is it? Because I could go down two roads. Could it have actually been the father, the ghost of the father?
Yeah.
Here you go.
And a younger version that the father-in-law would not have known.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Or could it just be one of those weird random things where it was Bill from accounting who happened to be in town that day? He's never at that store, but sitting on his desk was this envelope. Now, how the envelope got there is another mystery. And he knows it's supposed to go. But he knows to go to that person.
And I'm canceling your story because it makes no sense.
I'm trying to make sense of it.
No, I think the person that delivered the envelope to the father-in-law was somehow paranormal as well.
He was a ghost. Yeah, I mean, I think I go there too. I'm trying to make a logical sense of how, because I believe ghosts can work with the world and what's around them.
Sure.
And they'll try and take advantage of that as much as I can because it's probably easier. But I'm just thinking, well, how could this have been set up so this follows his path to get to her? But the weird caveat is not knowing who the guy was.
The other thing it could be was the guy could have been like a medium, and like he, you know, had this given to him and knew that he was supposed to deliver it to this person at this place on that day.
We've had those stories too.
So there's still a paranormal element, obviously, to that, beyond the fact that this all happened on the mom's birthday.
Yeah. That was a good one. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Our number is 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going? My name is Elias, and boy, do I have a story to tell you. I was probably about 10 or 11 years old. We were in Missouri at the time, Fort Leonard Wood to be exact. I was in my room probably about 9 or 10 o'clock. I had just woken up. For a reason I do not know, I felt someone watching me, and I looked in my closet, and there was a black figure. I'm pretty sure it was a full body apparition, leaning against my closet door. But I know I had closed the door before I went to bed, like I always do. When I saw the black figure, it was leaning against the door, and it appeared to be warping it. And then, well, I got really scared. So I covered my face with, I heard a ghostly voice saying, "You're going to die soon." So I looked up for my pillow, and there's another one standing in my doorway that led to the hall. Now, I have had other experiences with this hallway and this room. There's one time I was walking down, and I felt somebody brush against me, but nobody else was in the hallway. So I went and told my mom, and she looks at me, "But nobody else is here," she says. My brother was fishing with my dad at Happy Hollows. I always had other experiences when I'm without my dad, without my mom, at home, or even if I was just alone for a few minutes. My mom one day, when I was at school, she's at home folding laundry, and she heard someone sound like a child say, "Mama, can I have some food?" And she looked around, and my sister was actually asleep at the time. And she was freaked out, and I figured the house was haunted before she told me this, but that's when I knew. Another time, I was again at night, and I was asleep. It looked like there was a net, like a net made of mist or something, covering my door. And I could hear whispers on the other side, so I went to check it out. And when I did, I heard somebody scream. It freaked me out, and I kind of fell to the floor. I didn't even mean to fall. I went back to my bed and laid down and tried my best to stay still as still as possible. But I could still hear the whispers. I still do ask, like, I asked my mom, and I still do hear them sometimes, because the room I'm in currently, I've seen shadow figures in it, too. I asked my mom if she hears it. She said, well, that's when she told me about the story, that when she was folding laundry. So, my mom, that's not the only experience she had. When she was younger, she and her brother were Halloween costume shopping. And well, my grandma is a real heavy believer in Christianity, and she was not excited about it. But uncle, as of now, get a Grim Reaper costume. Well, when he took it home, the first night everything was fine. My mom was asleep. Everything was going good. The next, however, that costume, it would move. And my mom had a really vivid dream, and it still scares her to this day. She would dream about the costume sitting by the fireplace and a chair, like a wicker rocking chair. And everything went red, and she heard ghostly noises, and somebody was whispering and crying, "Help me." And then the costume got up and disappeared. This costume kept haunting my mother. She did not want anything to do with it. My mom has had out-of-body experiences, and she has had really terrible dreams. One of them, there's actually a child that looked like it had a blue face, and it looked like it was drowned, I guess, is what she told me. And it was repeating the phrase, "Help me find my mother. I am lost." And then the dream got turned darker. There's a report in the news about a murdered child that looked exactly like the one she was talking to. And she also had another dream where my sister walked out into the road just playing around, and a bus hit her. She was so vivid, like, the dream was so vivid that she could hear her choking on her own blood. Anyways, I'm off topic. In that house, my mom and I both heard people walking up and down the stairs and giggling children. We have been touched. I've been scratched. I don't like it. There's one night, again, and when I was asleep, I woke up from a nightmare. And I looked around, that's when I saw it again. So this time I decided to scream for my dad. I went in there, and he was looking around. I don't know if he saw it. In the text I sent you, it said he saw it too. We soon after that, we packed up and left the house. But now, in the house I am currently, every time I go up the stairs, I am feeling watched. I don't know if it's like malicious or if it's just curious as to what I'm doing. But I can still feel it. Definitely don't like it. My sister, by the way, she's in her room after my grandma had just left. And the closet door, my mom witnessed this too, opened by itself when it was completely shut. And my sister, like, I don't know what she saw, but she did not want to sleep in that room, like, at all. So every night she'd run into mom's room crying and wanting to sleep in there. Well, if you guys did hear this, thank you for listening. I love your guys' podcast. Keep it up. Really big fan. I'm sure you have heard of Ghost Adventures and stuff. I like to watch that stuff. I like Dead Files, Ghost Adventures, all that. So I'm glad you guys came out with this podcast. Keep it up. Stay positive. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
He has seen a lot. So mm-hmm. I think the thing that stands out to me the most is that his mom has seen things too. So I think this is a case of the sensitivity being passed from the mom to the son. Mm-hmm. And they're both seeing things and feeling things. And, you know, hopefully his doesn't progress any worse and he doesn't get any more, you know, nightmares. She almost has premonition nightmares. But, you know, hopefully as he ages that maybe this will tone down some.
Yeah. You could hear, I mean, I could tell he kind of wrote out his letter and he actually sent in several calls of different experiences and stories. So when I hear calls, I'm like, are they being, and I genuinely believe that he's being serious with his stories.
Yeah.
I think he was just kind of trying to read them as he wrote them because he tried to prepare to call in. But I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of stuff that plagues his family.
And I don't know how old he is. He just vocally to me sounded like he was on the younger side. So yeah. I'm hoping that, you know, as he ages, like I said, that maybe this will tone down some or he will find some skills as far as blocking some things out.
Yeah.
But I think it runs in the family.
I agree. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Let's do one more call before we wrap it up. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hi, my name is Sierra. I am from Denver, Colorado. I'm actually just calling. I've been listening to your show for like the last month, and I really enjoy it thoroughly. I actually wanted to call in one of the last episodes I listened to, I think was on released on Saturday. It was about, you know, that person seeing their uncle in their dreams. Well, I've always been a sensitive, since I was young. I've been able to, I don't know, feel different things. I had a friend just recently, December, pass away from cancer. And he was a really good friend to one of my ex-boyfriends. And unfortunately, I never got to see him towards the end of his life. I do remember seeing him a couple of times before, maybe like a few months before he had gotten really bad and needed to go into like a hospice care. Well, one day, the day that he'd passed away, I remember waking up at about 3:30 in the morning because I don't know, I had this weird feeling. You know, something wasn't right. I, you know, contacted his wife, made sure, you know, she didn't respond or anything. I found out that next morning that he had passed away right at 3:33, the same time that I had woken up. I had went back to sleep after waking up and, you know, wondering what was going on. And he had come to me in my dream. And told me that it was okay that I didn't see him before he passed away and that he would always love me and that I was a big part of his life and to make sure that his wife was taken care of. So I know it's kind of, I guess I didn't know how to like place it, but long story short, he came and saw me that day that he passed away and told me that he was happy and he didn't look sick in my dream. He looked like he did before he got sick, and it was just so crazy for me. Like, I woke up the next day and I found out that he had died at the exact same time that I woke up, and I texted and asked if he was okay, and then I saw him in my dream that same night. So that was definitely a big deal for me and his wife. You know, we went a couple weeks later, we went to the funeral, and she was like, you know, he really did love you, and he really appreciated everything that you ever did for him and our family. So I was like, hell yeah. So thank you. I appreciate you taking the time and listening. Have a nice day. Bye.
I think that, you know, as scary as it may be, I think you're very fortunate to get a death visit when you get one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something that you want to acknowledge that your loved one is dead, but when you are, you know, when you, I guess, are special enough to that person that they come to say goodbye, that really is something unique and very special.
Do you feel like shit when you don't get a death visit from somebody that you thought you were more important to in their life, and they don't show up and say, hey?
No, because I'm not sure that every ghost can do a death visit.
Yeah.
I, you know, as we do the show and continue to learn after all these years, it's just, who knows what your abilities are going to be if you are going to be a ghost or not.
It's kind of random.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe there's more to it, but maybe not everybody gets a chance to do a death visit.
Mm-hmm.
Or go back out there. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person in EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Or, of course, you can sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.